Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. Praise be to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمت ورديت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I, He Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the last ayah, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, and I have completed my favor upon you and have preferred for you al-Islam as the way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. Wa qalu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Inna deena indallah al-Islam, surely the way of life with Allah is al-Islam. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. بَيَّنَ أَرْقَانَ الْإِسْلَامِ, he made clear for us what the pillars of al-Islam are. أَنَّهَا شَهَادَ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَحَجِّ وَالصِّيَامِ, that is, namely, the declaration, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is his messenger, the five daily prayers, the obligatory giving, the Hajj to Baytullah, that is the house in Mecca, and fasting. We say, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, الَّذِينَ شَهَرَ اللَّهُ صُدُورَهُمْ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, the one who opened their hearts, expanded their breasts to al-Islam. وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ, and he made them to love iman. وَزَيِّنَتُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, and made it beautiful in their hearts. And he calls them also وَقَرَّهَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْكُفْرُ وَفُسُوقُ وَالْعِسْيَانِ, and he made hateful to them rejection, disbelief, wrongdoing, and sin. وَجَعَلَهُمْ مِنَ الرَّاشِدِينَ, and he made them among those who are guided. أَمَّا بَعْدَ يَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ, that is, and after this, O servants of Allah, أوصيكم ونفسي أولى بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته. And after this salutation, I say to you, but first I remind myself to be conscious, be regardful of Allah, and to obey Him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Wa jumu'ah mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajeem. Ya ayyuhal ladhina aminu kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'alakum tattaqoon. O ye who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, two men from Bali came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had become Muslim together, but one of them used to strive harder than the other. The one who used to strive harder went out to fight and was martyred, that is, he was killed in the battle. The other one stayed for a year longer. Then he passed away. Talha, one of the companions of the Prophet who is giving this report, Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, he said, I saw in a dream that I was at the gates of paradise, and I saw the both of them. Someone came out of paradise and admitted the one who had died last. Then he came out and admitted the one who had been martyred. Then he came back to me and said, go back, for your time has not yet come. The next morning, Talha told the people about that, and they were amazed. The news of that reached the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they told him the story. He said, why are you so amazed at that? They said, O Messenger of Allah, the first one was the one who strove harder, then he was martyred. But the other one was admitted to paradise before him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did he not stay, meaning the second one, did he not stay behind for a year? They said, yes. The Prophet asked, and did not Ramadan come and he fasted? And he offered such and such prayers during the year? They said, yes. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, the difference between them is greater than the difference between the heaven and the earth. So that is Siddiq Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a statement about how potent and how powerful just one more Ramadan is. One more Ramadan. And that's what you and I are blessed to have. We really, really need to appreciate that. To be alive now and at the doorsteps of Ramadan with the hope of being able to go through another month of Ramadan and all that that entails, that's a big blessing. And we haven't even stepped into that blessing, i.e. this year's Ramadan yet. So I hope you're already feeling that, because that's what's going on. So today's topic is Ramadan reminders. Yeah, Ramadan reminders. There's so many things that we forget about them. You know, I have an obligation to, you know, refresh you, refresh me, with regard to these particular knowledges. And mashallah, alhamdulillah, that it is as Allah has allowed it to be, and all the praise is due to Allah, is that, man, every time I look at the reminders and, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. I'm talking to me, listening to me, when I'm reading notes from last year's khutbah. Alhamdulillah, it's not a both up thing. You have the same experience. If you read the Quran last year, then you read something last year in the Quran that you didn't notice the year before. And you can expect that same thing this year. When you read the Quran, you're going to read something this year, and it won't be the first time that you read it, but it perhaps will be the first time that you understood it. And that at least in a different way. Because even when you come to understand it, that doesn't mean that's the last thing to understand about it. Okay? So alhamdulillah, it's endless. So these are just reminders. So I'm like just reading diary notes to you and making comments as we go. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's start with the verse that we opened with, which is the principal verse to talk about fasting. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Let me say this. It didn't say kutiba alaykum Ramadan. Ramadan is the name of the month that the fasting happens, right? It says fasting has been prescribed for you. So fasting is a prescription. Fasting is a practice that's not new to us, meaning that it was prescribed for those before us. But fasting has been prescribed for us. So I'm making this distinction because even in the title, the longer title, I said, reminders of the benefits of fasting and Ramadan, right? So sometimes we have subordinated just fasting to, oh, it's Ramadan, so it's time to fast. In reality, in Al-Islam, you know, fasting throughout the year is a practice that Allah has prescribed. He didn't only prescribe Ramadan. He prescribed fasting for Muslims, okay? And so we want to get to those benefits. Now, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kana kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'alakum tattaqun. La'alakum tattaqun. This is a big thing, my dear brothers and sisters. This is a big thing. This idea of taqwa, just taqwa alone, it's just a very big deal. I mean, there's so many people out there. There are people out there making millions talking to you and I about consciousness. Consciousness. I mean, making millions of dollars just because everything they say is peppered with these words, consciousness. The unconscious makeup, subconscious makeup, superconscious makeup, preconscious. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm this is good. I got it. I understand. But looking at it in the sacred way that it's being brought up by Allah in the Quran, in the word taqwa, is a different thing. It is consciousness. Taqwa is consciousness. But it's being conscious in the way that Allah would have you be conscious. There are a lot of people that are conscious of a lot of things. But are they conscious in the way that Allah would have them be conscious? What you're conscious of, are those things the things that Allah really wants you to be conscious of? In the part of what is often used in openings for many Muslims around the world, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh, you who believe, be conscious of Allah in the way that He would have you be conscious. And don't die except in a state of submission to His will. So this taqwa, this consciousness, sometimes called the fear of God, sometimes called God consciousness, etc. I want us to have a working definition. Here's the way. Words mean what they make you do. That's the truth. Words mean what they make you do. So how do I know I have the definition, or how do I know what definition I am using for a given word in my vocabulary? How do I know how I define that word? How do I know how I'm defining that word? You know by how you behave in the presence of that word. Okay, if I say zakat, how do you behave in the presence of that word? If I say salat, how do you behave in the presence of that word? If I say righteousness, how do you behave in the presence of that word? Meaning, what does that word make you do? Okay, this is what we want in terms of taqwa. Taqwa, the meaning that tells you what you should do is to be conscious in the way that Allah would have you be conscious. About what? Everything. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, he translates it regardfulness. I say translate. One of the expressions he gives to it is regardfulness. Regardfulness. What is this regardfulness? Regardfulness is give the proper regard to it. Now, inside that word is the word guard. Regardful. So the key, the heart, the root of that is prefix re, the root word guard, suffix fullness, whatever. I'll put it all together. So guard, that's taqwa. Taqwa is inward guarding consciousness. Taqwa is watching yourself from the inside. I got some numbers, inshallah, I'm pretty sure, in the second part of the khutbah. I'll go ahead and bring those numbers so we can understand them more so, inshallah. There's a lot of thoughts going on, a lot of feelings, a lot of urges, a lot of impulses in us in every minute of every day. And they're not all good. We're going to get to the details of that. But let's understand it in the context of the Prophet's hadith. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. صدق رسول الله عليه السلام. He said, none of you believes, not one of you, لا يؤمن أحدكم, not one of you believes, حتى until يكون, until your hawahu, your impulses, your urges, your appetite are following taba'an lima jidtu bi, until they are following what I have brought you. None of you is a believer until your urges, your appetite, your impulses follow what I have brought. Listen to that again. None of you is a believer until his urges, his appetites, what's called here, hawahu, till his urges, his appetites, his desires, his passions follow what I have brought. Taqwa is what puts us in a position to watch on the inside, that's where they're coming from, to watch our urges, our impulses, our appetite, our passions. They're busy. They're busy right now. They're busy right now. But alhamdulillah, your taqwa has got them in check. But it doesn't mean they're not around and they're not moving and they're not desirous of being whatever they aspire to. And know this. Your appetites, your passions, your desires, they have their own aspirations. I got a quote for you on that. But the point is, taqwa is the guard on the inside of your own urges, appetites, impulses, etc. So taqwa, when the Imam, rahimahullah alayhi, when he says regardfulness, it's Quranic, not just for what I said, but I'm going to give you another support. Well, it says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran, the latter portion of it, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So that means the same regardfulness that Allah would have you have for him, he says, have that regard for arham, the relationships, the relationships. One of the ways that Al-Islam makes Muslims so powerful and successful as individuals and as professionals in whatever their endeavor is when they fulfill that obligation in all their relations. You have academic relations, you have economic relations, you have blood relations, you have social relations, fraternal relations, whatever. They're all relations. وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Be regardful of those relations in the way that Allah would have you be regardful of those relations. If you don't treat your husband the way your husband should be treated in accordance with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the same for the wife, if you don't treat your wife in the way that Allah would have you treat your wife, you're not going to be successful. Forget about it. You're not going to be successful in your marriage. You're not going to be successful in your household if you don't give the due regard to the husband that's due to a husband and to the wife that's due to the wife. Say whatever you will. Do whatever you want other than that. It's not going to work. You're a student in college. There's an obligation. There's a regardfulness that you have to have in order to get the benefit of education. But if you don't have in you the consciousness about education, the regard for education, then you're not going to be successful as a student. And you know, I could just go down the whole list. Be regardful, you'll be successful. Be regardful, you'll be successful. Be regardful, you'll be successful. Be regardful in the way that Allah would have you. Be regardful in all these matters, and you will be successful. The Quran says, "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun." The believers are already successful. But the Prophet said, none of you is a believer, that one that is successful already. None of you is a believer until his passions, desires follow what I have brought. Until, you can say now, until they have taqwa. Not going to be successful until you have taqwa. Keep that in mind. So, couple of things from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding fasting. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, when the first night of Ramadan comes, the devils and the rebellious jinn are chained, the gates of hell are locked, and not one of them is opened. The gates of paradise are opened, and not one of them is locked. And a crier calls, "You who desire what is good, come forward, and you who desire evil, refrain." Some are freed from hell by Allah, and that happens every night. So, if the devils are in chains in paradise, why is there still so much hell on earth during Ramadan? It's like, let's keep it simple for time's sake. It's my devil and your devil that's put in chains. Whatever devilishment I bring to the world, with taqwa and self-restraint, I got that in check. I could have been the mean dog the day before, but if I am fasting in Ramadan as Allah has ordered, then that puts my devil in chains. And that opens up my paradise. It's personal, right? So take it that way, mashallah, and you'll get a benefit, inshallah. Also, a Bedouin, it says, I'll read it just as it's expressed here. A Bedouin with unkempt hair came to Allah's messenger. He came to Allah's messenger and said, "O messenger of Allah, tell me what Allah has made compulsory for me as regards the prayers." The Prophet said, "You have to offer perfectly 5 compulsory prayers in a day and night." That is in 24 hours. When you want to offer perfectly the 5 compulsory prayer, when you want to offer prayer in the nawafil, that is, if you want to do extra, you can do that. The Bedouin further said, "Inform me what Allah has made compulsory for me with regard to fasting." The Prophet replied, "You have to fast during the whole month of Ramadan, unless you want to fast more as nawafil." The Bedouin further asked, "Tell me how much zakat Allah has enjoined on me." Thus, the Messenger of Allah informed him about all the rules, all the fundamentals of al-Islam, all the way to the end. When the Prophet finished laying out those arkan al-Islam, the Bedouin then said to the Prophet, "By him who has honored you, I will neither perform any nawafil, nor will I decrease what Allah has enjoined on me." And Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was leaving, right? Allah's Messenger says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "If anyone wants to see someone in paradise, then look at that man." He said, "Look, I ain't doing no extra stuff. What do I have to do?" Right? "Okay, I'm going to do that. I ain't doing nothing else." And the Prophet said, "That'll get you into paradise." He said, so all this extremism, it's like, no, you trying to fool yourself and a few other people. No, just do what Allah ordered you to do. In the Nation of Islam, one of the things I believe is also in the Quran, where it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. You know, I believe there is something of that nature in the Quran. What is it saying? It's saying, okay, what are you obligated to do? Do what you're obligated to do. You don't have to go beyond, and don't beat yourself up when you don't meet some of those obligations. Allah is most gracious, most merciful. Allah is most forgiving, all of those in the fullness of it. So it's your own self that can beat you up and give you a sense of guilty consciousness. You ain't no Muslim, right? So that's shaitan right there, right? So it's like, okay, I'm not listening to that, you know? MashaAllah, in my evolution and in my growth as we close into al-Islam, you know, I hit some spots where it's like, man, this is not good, Fahim. This ain't good. You don't know what it is because Allah has covered me on that. Alhamdulillah. I'm just trying to give you an example. I'm just telling you I've been there, right? And it was at the point where I said, you know what? I'm going to pray anyway. You know, because the shaitan will tell you, who you trying to fool, man, making prayer? Please. Yeah. Nope. I'm going to pray anyway. Worked. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين الله أكبر الحمد لله. Let's just deal with some, I'm going to call them fun facts right now. Use my paper knife too. The Quran, expression of it, in 17th chapter in the 36th verse, it says, every act of hearing or seeing or thinking in your mind and feeling in your heart will be inquired into on the day of reckoning. You've heard the statement in the Quran, you read it, where it says everything is going to be judged to a nicety. And whoever finds an atom's weight of wrong will see it. An atom's weight of good, we'll see it. Small, that's the message. The smallest things. And Allah has said here in the Quran, these things are like thoughts, feelings, urges, impulse. I won't even express any examples. Just think about thoughts that you have had that you would be ashamed of someone hearing coming out of your mouth. Those thoughts. They are a part of the judgment. But I didn't say nothing. I didn't do nothing. No, but you thought it. So that's just, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if the sinner knew how forgiving Allah is, they would have no doubts about going to paradise. If they had an idea of how forgiving Allah is, they would have no doubt, I know I'm going to paradise. And it says also, and the believer, if they knew how stern and detailed Allah's judgment is, they would have no doubt that they're going to hell. That is, they would have no hopes of getting to paradise if they had that. So Allah has this whole thing is balanced, right? So this is the point to be made here is to understand with taqwa causes you to be conscious of your every thought, but not in the OCD kind of way, and no disrespect to anyone who suffers from that, but not in that way. It's just, you just have to know. that Allah knows everything and Allah hears everything and every thought and every feeling and every urge, every impulse, every passion that you have, every idea that comes through your head that you entertain, that becomes a part of the judgment. Reading further, 50th chapter, 16, 17, 18, quickly. It says, it was we who created man, and we know the dark suggestions his soul makes to him. God said, I know you. I'm closer to you, as it says in this verse. I'm nearer to you than your jugular vein, right? Behold, there are two angels appointed to learn his deeds, and note them, one sitting on the right and the other on the left. Not a word does he utter, but it is a sentinel by him ready to note it all the time. But that's not a cause for, you can't see it anyway, because that's the way, that's the structure. So yeah, we have faults, we have shortcomings, we have errors that we make, and they are recorded. That's why we say, Nastaghfirullah. Say, oh, Allah, forgive me. Hey, you got to do more than that. No. Just ask Allah, forgive me. Done. Now, if something is in your head telling you, oh, I don't know if that's enough. Who are you? How can you ever even be in a position to say that? Imam Muhammad makes a statement also. He said, you're not even qualified to judge yourself. Hello? Ain't no Muslim word, brother. Hello, what you talking about? Checking my tithe. Hell is low, that's for sure. Look, example. What happened to you when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old? That may have bent you in a certain kind of conscious way that you don't have any idea about. How much of that happened that you don't know about is influencing the way that you think and feel and act today? Do you know that? No, you don't. All the way up until you are 6 years old or so, you're in a hypnagogic state, and even when you talk about memory is not exact. Some of the most untrustworthy witnesses in court cases are eyewitnesses. You were there, it happened to you, et cetera, but when you try to remember it 10, 15 years later, it's not there. Or it's not there in the way that it actually was. And every time you restate a memory, you modify what you're remembering, updating it to where and when you are at that time. So it is far removed from when the thing actually happened. All I'm trying to say is we don't know what makes us who we are and why we are and how we are. But Allah knows. Allahu Akbar. So all we have to do, inshallah, all we have to do is constantly ask Allah for forgiveness and ask Allah to forgive us from our weaknesses, forgive us from our shortcomings. And that's all we have to do is ask, because Allah already know that we don't know why we the way that we are. Allah know you don't know. You think you know yourself. You don't know yourself. But Allah said, I know you, and I know the dark suggestions your soul makes to you. But all you have to do is turn to me and ask me for forgiveness and open yourself up to me, and I will purify your heart, purify your mind, purify your soul, purify your life. I will do that for you in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are sincere. So to the extent that you, and Imam says this, as we end, Imam says, there is no perfection. You're trying to be perfect. Stop it. There is no perfection. The only thing you can perfect is your intention to obey Allah. Even when you're failing, where's your intention? If your intention is still locked on that same thing, then Allah says matters are judged by intention through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what you and I have to always do, manage our intention, have taqwa, be conscious all the time of what am I really doing this for? Why am I really doing this? Am I sincere about this? Or am I trying to do something else while I'm doing it? Taqwa says, watch yourself on the inside so that you won't deceive yourself. Self-delusion is one of the biggest causes of downfall nowadays. So may Allah bless us to be conscious. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما استنات أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت أو الله we thank you we thank you we thank you we thank you for blessing us to live to see and have another Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us to execute to the best of our ability the practices that you have enjoined upon us. Oh Allah, save us from our extremes. Save us from being extremely self-effacing. Save us from being extremely proud. Save us from being excessively self-regarding. Oh Allah, bless us to learn how to live al-Islam in the most pure and natural way. O Allah, we beg your blessings for the month of Ramadan. And O Allah, forgive us our shortcomings now and after. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Wa alaykum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة وروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام حي حتى مطلع الفجر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله تقبل الله. الله أكبر. ومدى قبل الناس إن شاء الله. Firstly, our annual crab fest going on tomorrow. However, there are no tickets at the door. Can they purchase tickets now? New Africa? Yolanda Shue. Okay, it's sold out. So they can't buy it today or tomorrow night. No, I'm saying no. I already said no at the door. Nothing right now. Sold out? That's what sold out means, huh? Oh, okay. Keep working with me, all right? Keep working with me. That is what sold out means. Maybe trying to accommodate the imam is there. Well, didn't we just say anything? Can you say, you stupid? We just told you. Alhamdulillah, let me bring this to your attention as well. Sheikh Abdurraouf's class started last week, in person, right here, 1747th Avenue, Ramadan class. Always very rich with the Sheikh. So that's at 9, from 9 to 11 on Saturday. And it's going to be going on, I think, all the way up until the 11th of April or something like that. Not April, March. So alhamdulillah. So check in with that, get a flyer, get other details. Also, I'm going to be doing Ramadan intensive sessions this year. The flyer. I don't know how many. Do we have flyers in the back or no? Look on the table. See if you see a Ramadan flyer. Yeah, no. For the intensive Ramadan intensive. That's okay. So let me just give you a little minute on that. In this Ramadan intensive session, I'm covering the A to Z of slavery. Not even there. The beginning of Islam in the peninsula of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the movement of Islam into Africa, the rise and decline of Al-Islam, quote-unquote, in Africa, the slave trade, the Middle Passage, the southern plantation system, the experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives, and then from that to the Nation of Islam, that is that there's a whole transition. That is, we were who we were made in the slave plantation, and then we get something of a redemption in that the beginning of it, in the Nation of Islam. Then there's the resurrection, which is Imam Muhammad bringing us the understanding of what has transpired in that life, right? And then, what's the last thing? The last thing is the restoration of that identity in that. And so we're going to cover the whole Bilalian thing and what it actually says for the destiny of Al-Islam in the world. So here's a summation, is that the rise, the robbery, the redemption, the resurrection and the renaissance of Al-Islam in the world. And for those of you who use college words, it will be the master narrative for Black Americans. I know you don't like that word. Some do. But I want us to understand, what's our story when it comes to us and the world going forward? And what does God have to do with it? What did God have to do? What does he have to do with it? And what has he to do with where we're going in the future? And these are, they're actually, it's going to be like a compilation of things that I've been doing from 2007, but not consistently. I have put it together and I will present it. If you happen to be around, you got it. But if you haven't been around, you never heard it. Okay. Now I'm putting all those components in one stream, the beginning all the way to where does Al-Islam in America go, given this history. And I'm literally telling you, it will be, in my estimation, the master narrative for our story as Muslims in this country. And we all need to know that. I could tell you a lot more about what motivates that, but we'll do that later. The dates are March 22nd to April 5th. They're intensive in as much as they're going to be Fridays from 5 to 7, Saturdays from 11 to 1, then the prayer break, et cetera, then from 2:30 to 4. And that's every Friday, every Saturday, starting the 22nd. And I'll say this also, brothers and sisters. Part of my main motivation is, like the two recent books that I'll call them recent, that I've done. It's like there are things that I wanted and feel obligated to do before I die. Because the message for me from Hodge was that life is unfinished business. And no matter what you're working on, you're going to die with something not done. So you got to make a choice. Well, what is it that you want to do before you die? This is one of those. Don't underestimate what I'm saying. There's no boast, no pride. I'm not throwing flowers on myself. I feel that by the grace of Allah, having had the experience as I have had, Farad Muhammad is across in that building. W.D. Muhammad is across in that building, across the street. And I was blessed to be assistant to them and traveling the world with them. So in terms of that, laying down that history and what I've said, with all due respect, I'm sorry, forgive me for using this language. We were in Houston, and we went to a community, and most all the communities that we went to, and that's what the call was, for Bilalian imams to come and tell our story to the immigrant Muslim community. And if you've ever been to Houston, if you know anything about the Houston Islamic community, Islamic Society of Greater Houston, it's huge. But they welcomed us in, about 13, 14 imams from the Association of Imam Muhammad and other. Okay, come tell us your story. And when we're telling them the story, A, there was a realization that there was absolutely positive, a serious void in what? Okay, but not only that, our young people, my children, your children, the children who, I'm pointing at Mikhail, the children of people who sold Whiting H and G, people who stood on the corner, stood security in the Nation of Islam, et cetera, et cetera. Our children, most of them have no idea what history we come from. Martin Luther King Jr. is a distant memory so it's just a picture that they have and a holiday that we have. So forget about Elijah Muhammad and the rest of them. The only thing they know about Islam in America is Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. So it's just, and forgive me for shouting you out. Is that Nozee's Way right there? That is. Professor Nozee's Way. I know. I'm not trying. Listen, we're in the announcement phase right here. Are you still teaching your course or no? Okay. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I know how you don't like to be spotlighted in that. Tell me what was the name of the course that you just finished teaching. Yes. That's what she was giving at the college level. Okay. It's critical that information be out there. And I'd love to get what her experience has been in sharing that. It's very, very useful. But I'm saying it is needed. So I'm sorry. You want my professor? Well, see, you're more professional than me. I'll give it all to you. That's it. Inshallah. Well, y'all heard it, right? Okay, so we'll be in touch for sure. So I thank and I appreciate the value, and she invited my input, et cetera, and it's really, really critical for her. But that narrative needs to be out there, and in the multiplicity of ways that it can be shared, so that a holistic view of what that really means can be had. It's critical. So I'm saying I'm doing this as before I die. I need to be done. I don't want to leave that undone. So I know you're going to sit there. Some people will sit there and you're going to fall asleep. But I'm going to be over there so you can come in here and take a nap and then you can come back. But I am going to spend that time so that I can get it out and get it down, either recording or put it in a situation where it can be transcribed, and then we'll work out the book piece later. I won't say anything further about that, but I hope you can come through and be there. Okay, so remember to finish making up your missed days of Ramadan before Ramadan begins, mashallah, and also the 2024 iftar calendar, menu choices and prices for iftar catered by New Africa Kitchen will be available soon. And the first night of Ramadan is expected to be March 10th. Okay, so that's the round figures, right? March 10th, starting at Maghrib. Okay, and okay, so that's it. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hustle, hustle. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.